Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Okay. Oh, there we go. But I want a Newt. Newt, Get Rich. Play that. Listen.
America owns the whole moon. We conquered it in 69.
This is Newt Gingrich.
Sorry, China, but that's how it works. So it's pretty much rightfully mine. And we'll finally find out if it's made of cheese. And if so, I've got dibs on most of that cheese. And if you will elect me, this is just a taste.
Not gonna happen.
Cause I'm thinking about a sundae.
Oh, I have so many fun things to talk about. So, now, today, looking at the Drudge Report, Newt Gingrich's... Yes, I know, it's Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, that's the way I'm going to say it. Newt Gingrich was standing beside Donald Trump, acting like he's going to be the VP. Now, how's that going to happen? Because as I recall, back in the 90s, wasn't he run out of Washington in 1999 for ethics violations? And wasn't there something to do with cheating on his wife, allegedly?
Apparently, he paid what his lawyers call a cost assessment for violations on his way out the door.
Mm-hmm. Then the wife.
He's from Washington. And I did hear about his wife. I did hear that, but...
Well, then we'll say allegedly.
Yeah. I'm looking up two different things here. So
I want to talk about the moon. Coming up here, we'll be talking about Stanley Kubrick's daughter debunks the moon landing conspiracy theory. Oh, I love a good conspiracy theory. First, a couple things. There's an eight-year-old on YouTube named Dylan who has an extreme version of Pitch Perfect. Perfect pitch. Where he can hear a chord on the piano and name every note in that chord. His teacher keeps playing the wildest chords he can think of and never stumps this 18-year-old kid. Now, if you don't know music, like I don't know music, this might not impress you. If you do, you'll be impressed.
Sing an A-flat. C. How about F-sharp? E. How about B-flat? Okay, I'm going to play a chord. Listen to it and sing the notes.
F sharp, C sharp, F sharp, D sharp, B.
Pretty impressive, if you know what that is. If you know what it is. All right, let me see. So, did I play you the Icelandic soccer announcer loses his mind when his team wins at the last minute? When did I play that? I think I played that. Did I play that last week? Anyway, Iceland is not really well known for their soccer competition. So this guy justifiably lost his mind. More on that later.
Sounds like he's having a baby or something.
I know, right? It sounds.
Calm down, buddy.
Yeah. Let me see. I played Patrick Stewart for you. And so now here's what I want to get to. This whole thing, this Stanley Kubrick thing, because I find this so interesting. So, Nat, I have to tell you, have you ever heard this? By the way, does anybody know? I'll tell you what. I have something to give away. I'm not sure. Oh, turns out we're giving away KNBR. Hold on.
The station?
Yeah. Hold on.
Just take it.
No, we're not. Just kidding.
Man.
Just kidding, kids. Let's see here. We could give away KSFO. Isn't Hannity on now? That would be a good thing. Just kidding, kids. Okay, so now, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. Here's the thing. KGO has a family four-pack of passes for you and the family to check out Disney Screen. Disney Screen is a new way to watch your favorite Disney films on the big screen. Each week, Disney Screen will host four classic Disney films. 101 Dalmatians, Aristocrats, Toy Story, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, all of this. All good. You take your kids to it. All fantastic. For tickets and information, go to DisneyScreen.com. Okay, so in the movie The Shining, what was the hotel room number?
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one. Here's Johnny. Do you know the answer, Amanda? Because I'm going to write the number on this, and this is the answer. So the first person to get it correct at area code 415-808-0810 wins. Okay, that's the answer. Did you know that? Did you look? Did you ever watch The Shining? No.
You know what? That's your homework, millennial.
Yes. Watch The Shining.
Now
the
go
Shining.
Answer the phones.
Yes, get over there in your booth. Okay, so this is great. So Stanley Kubrick's daughter has finally debunked. What are you looking at? Oh, I got to unblock the phones. Hold on. I need to turn the phones on. We're having a lot of technical issues here. It's all that marijuana chat makes me nervous. Stanley Kubrick's daughter debunks moon landing conspiracy theory. Now, in 1969, when we went to the moon, lots of people said we didn't do it. That all we were doing is trying to beat the Russians and fulfill Kennedy's wish, when Kennedy said that by the end of this decade, we will land a man on the moon. All right? Remember all of that?
Sure.
Okay, well, lots of people didn't believe it. All right? So, how can anyone believe that one of the greatest defenders of mankind would commit such an act of betrayal? That would be Stanley Kubrick. Yes, we know Stanley Kubrick as a brilliant. Matter of fact, there's an exhibition going on. Tim Sika said somewhere.
Yeah, the Jewish Museum in San Francisco.
You can actually see the maze that they used in the movie for The Shining. All right, it's there, the actual maze. It's incredible. So, as you would have it, Stanley Kubrick, as well as directing classic films like Space Odyssey, 2001,
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange, Full Metal Jacket. They say that he aided the U.S. government in faking the moon landing in 1969. Now, the idea has been chewed over and over by conspiracy theorists over the years, most prominently aided by a documentary, which is that room number. Let me see here if we have the room number, and then I'll move on. Dustin in San Jose.
Yes.
Yeah, what room number?
237.
237. That's right. By the way, I think the name of the hotel is the Broadmoor. You can still stay in that room.
No, thank you.
Yeah. It is available. I know. I looked it up. You can stay there. It'd be cool to stay there. So anyway, the idea has been chewed over and over again and aided by a documentary, Room 237, which suggests that the British filmmaker hid allusions to his involvement in the Apollo 11, depiction and the deception within the horror film The Shining, saying that he actually hid things in the movie itself. And I have to say, I never knew this part, but here's Danny walking down the hall. Tell everybody what he's wearing on that sweater.
What is that? Apollo USA.
He's wearing an Apollo USA sweater.
To the moon.
That's really weird. Now, let me just say this. That's what kids were wearing when this movie was put out. Remember, everything was NASA. So,
Yeah. It was the rage.
It would be like, me wearing Under Armour today with the Exxon in 20 years from now saying, oh, that's a conspiracy. He was wearing Under Armour.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course. Well, it wasn't until Kubrick's passing in 1999 that the Apollo 11 theory gained traction, which hasn't stopped the media from embracing it. Most recently, a comedy film called Moonwalkers weaved the idea into its plot. For those who are dismissing Stanley Kubrick's daughter's efforts to debunk the theory, she does make an excellent point. She says, listen to me, America and world and planet Earth. I actually knew this guy. He was my father. I lived and worked with him. So forgive my harshness when I state categorically the so-called truth these malicious cranks persist in forwarding is manifestly a grotesque lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, that seems pretty definitive to me.
Yeah, seems like it to me, too. Well, didn't one of the Apollo astronauts get approached by one of those wing nuts, and then he punched them in the face for saying that stuff?
Yes, I forget which one. One of the really big, famous ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin,
yeah, it was Buzz Aldrin.
He'll buzz
a couple
your face.
Of years ago.
So, I have this cool thing. I looked it up, and I have 10 reasons the moon landing could be a hoax. I don't buy it, but we'll take a look at them because they're fun to talk about.
Well, Buzz Aldrin's not here, so I think we're safe.
Punch him. He's the producer. All right. I don't punch well. More of the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap up coming up. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Grant. I love REM. Okay, so I don't buy any of this. Stanley Kubrick's daughter debunks a moon landing conspiracy theory. And that's fine because I believe that it happened. But I love a conspiracy theory, so I found this, and we're now going to take a look at several reasons why it was staged. I told you politically why it was. I mean, the theory is that the moon landings were hoaxed by the U.S. government to assert their victory in the space race over Russia, and is something which has grown in popularity over time. Recent polls indicate that approximately 20% of Americans believe that the U.S. has never landed on the moon. I do find it kind of odd that no other country has landed on the moon since we stopped landing on the moon. All right. So here's number 10, the waving flag. Oh, this is a good one. Conspiracy theorists have pointed out that when the first moon landing was shown on live television, viewers could clearly see the American flag waving and fluttering as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin planted it. Photos of the landing also seem to show a rippling in the breeze, such as the image above, which clearly shows a fold in the flag. The obvious problem here is that there's no air on the moon. There's no air in the moon's atmosphere, and therefore there's no wind that could cause that flag to blow. Countless explanations have been put forward to disprove this phenomenon as anything unusual. NASA claimed that the flag was stored in a thin tube and the rippled effect was caused by, you know, it basically being unfurled before being planted. Okay. Other explanations involve the ripples caused by the reaction force of the astronauts touching the aluminum pole, which is shown to shake in the video footage. All right. Got that one? You can jump in anytime, Pelletier, since you're a news guy. Although I know that you're not supposed to talk about conspiracy theories.
Nah, I just think all this stuff is dopey.
Your credibility is out the window if you're working with me anyway. So anyway, number 9, lack of impact crater. The claim goes as follows. Had NASA really landed us on the moon, there would at least be a blast crater underneath the lunar module to mark its landing, right? Wouldn't there be? Kind of, sort of. Look at the picture. There's nothing. There's no dust blowing around. There's not a hole in the ground.
Well, you know what? What company just landed a rocket? Was it Tesla?
SpaceX.
Yeah. They just landed a rocket. There was no impact crater on that barge.
Yes, there was. There was a big black mark where it burnt the barge.
Well, maybe, yes, there was. Maybe there was a black mark and nobody just
I have
it.
The film right here. Look, come over here and look because you don't believe because you're a news
Good
guy.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Where's you show me. Where's the crater?
I don't know. There I mean, it does one. Look like okay. There's a shadow of some kind there. Maybe it's under the shadow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there would have been a crater under there. I'm having so much fun with this. On any video footage or photograph of the landings, no crater is visible, almost as though the module was simply placed there. The surface of the moon is covered in fine lunar dust, and even this doesn't seem to have been displaced in photographic evidence. Much like the wave... You know, the waving flag theory, however, the lack of the impact crater has a slew of potential explanations. Let's take a listen. NASA maintains that the module required significantly less thrust in the low-gravity conditions than it would have done on Earth. The surface of the moon itself is a solid rock, so a blast crater probably wouldn't be feasible anyway, in the same way that an aeroplane doesn't leave a crater when it touches down on a concrete airstrip. Okay. Multiple light sources. You've heard this one, didn't you? On the moon, there's only one strong light source. It's the sun. So it's fair to suggest that all of the shadows should run parallel to one another. But this was not the case during the moon landing. Videos and photography clearly show that shadows fall in different directions. Conspiracy theorists suggest that this must mean multiple light sources are present, suggesting that the landing photos were taken on a film set.
They brought a lantern with them. Come on.
NASA has attempted to blame uneven landscape and strange shadows with subtle bumps and hills on the moon's surface causing the discrepancies. This explanation has been tossed out the window by a lot of theorists. How could hills cause such a large angular difference? In the image above the lunar's module, shadow clearly contradicts that of the rocks in the foreground at almost a 45-degree angle. Oh, let's not get into the Van Halen radiation belt. I don't care about that one.
Van Halen?
Yeah, Van Halen. David Lee Roth was up there, and they don't know how the hell he got there, and thank God they left him there. Number six is the unexplained object. This is a good one. This is the one that really chaps my ass if my ass is going to be chapped.
All right.
Okay. This is a good one.
You forgot your chapstick.
I did, and I think my lips are going to start bleeding in about 15 minutes. I'm addicted to chapstick, everybody. It's better than being addicted to Afrin. I have to have it with me. It's driving me crazy. You shouldn't have brought it up. The unexplained object. So after photographs of the moon landings were released, theorists were quick to notice a mysterious object in the reflection of an astronaut's helmet from that of Apollo 12. The object appears to be hanging from a rope or wire and has no reason to be there whatsoever, leading some to suggest it's an overhead spotlight typically found in a film studio. The resemblance is questionable given the poor quality of the photograph, but the mystery remains as to why something is being suspended in midair, or rather, lack of air on the moon. The lunar module in other photos appears to have no extension from it or that matches that photo. So the object still remains totally unexplained. Look, so take a look here. Take a look. Now, he's going to play newsman. What is that doing there? There should be nothing there. And NASA has never explained it, that reflection in the astronaut's helmet.
I mean, I don't know. It could be anything. It's the moon. I've never been to the moon. It could be anything on the moon. It could be a little moon deer or something.
Lack of stars. One of the compelling arguments about the moon landing hoax is the total lack of stars. In any photographic video evidence whatsoever, there are no clouds on the moon, obviously, so stars are perpetually visible and significantly brighter than what we would see through the filter of Earth's atmosphere, right? The argument here is that NASA would have found it impossible to map out the exact locations of all the stars for the hoax. No doubt about that, without being rumbled, you know, and therefore they chose to leave them out intentionally, falling back on the excuse that the quality of the photographs washes them out. An excuse they actually did give.
Well, that's probably true. It was 1969. And you know what? I did see stars in the picture. Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. They're both stars.
The Sea Rock. One of the most famous photos from the moon landings.
Sounds dirty.
Well, only if you make it dirty.
It's the Sea Rock.
Yes. One of the most famous photos from the moon landings shows a rock in the foreground with what appears to be the letter C engraved in it. The letter appears to be almost perfectly symmetrical, meaning it is unlikely to be a natural occurrence. It has been suggested that the rock is simply a prop with the C used as a marker by an alleged film crew. A set designer could have turned the rock the wrong way, accidentally exposing the marking to the camera. You tell me what's on that rock.
It looks like there's a C,
uh-huh.
But that could have been put in by anybody.
Who put that up there?
I mean, they obviously got out. Maybe they
aliens,
scrawled a C in there.
I don't know. So now you know.
Maybe that's not real.
Let's see here. They actually have the Stanley Kubrick theory. Let's take a look. This loose extension of the popular conspiracy theory states that acclaimed film director Stanley Kubrick was approached by the U.S. government to hoax the first three moon landings. There are two main branches of this somewhat implausible theory. One group believes and maintains that Kubrick was approached after he released 2001, A Space Odyssey, released in 1968, 1 year before the first moon landing. After NASA came to appreciate the stunning realism of the film's outer space scenes at the time, another group contends that Kubrick was groomed by the government to film the moon landing long before this, and that 2001, A Space Odyssey was a staged practice for was a staged practice run for him.
Oh, okay.
Drex, can I chime in?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
This is the subject. This is the kind of thing I love.
Oh, I love it too.
Hey, photograph on the note of not being able to see any stars.
Yes.
You know, you can't. It's because the sun is so bright; it's completely unimpeded by any atmosphere. I mean, the moon might have a smidgen of an atmosphere, if you could even call it that. But you get the same effect from space shuttle photos, which are just above the Earth. You can't see any stars when they're on the day side.
Yeah, except when those cigar-shaped things, aliens are flying by.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what about the Sea Rock, where you can visibly see the letter C?
That's probably. I have a feeling that's largely just people's imagination.
And the unexplained object in the astronaut's reflective helmet looks like lights hanging down there or something. Like a soundstage.
I think it's probably some of their equipment that they had with them. I fully believe that they really went there. I just can't get into
it. I do too. The waving flag
might have just been it vibrating. You know, because you've got almost no gravity there either. A little bit, enough, obviously, to hold them down so they don't go just. No. But I'm thinking as they were trying to plant the thing, just the vibration of the pole itself might have caused that wavy effect.
Maybe you're vibrating.
You know, I'm with this guy. I thought you were going to bring some wacko things to the table.
Some wacko traffic stuff.
Yeah, but now he's got wacko traffic to talk about.
Wacko traffic stuff. Well, it is time for wacko traffic stuff. All right, love you, Lee Graham. Let's take a look at traffic. All right, they landed on the moon. Stanley Kubrick's daughter said so. So that's it. We're done. We'll be back with more of the Drex Radio Show coming up.
KGO 810.
Yeah, David Lee Roth's up there. He's the guy who was screaming into the American flag, and that's why it was rippling. And the Apollo landed. He held it on one hand and then lowered it down. And he blacked out the stars, too. I don't know how he did it.
Let's
have some fun with Fox News. You'll love this story. Ex-Fox News anchor accuses former boss Roger Ailes of sexual harassment. That's right. So former Fox News anchor, if you've been wondering where Gretchen Carlson is, well, she went bye-bye. She's suing Fox News Channel architect Roger Ailes as of today for sexual harassment, claiming her ex-boss wrongfully fired her, according to Reuters, after she rebuffed years of unwanted advances. So it wasn't just one. Apparently, it was years. Okay. This story goes on to say Carlson, who's 50, claimed in a lawsuit that Ailes, a former Republican political consultant who built the Fox News empire, took her off the morning show Fox and Friends in 2013, cut her pay because she refused to have a sexual relationship with him.
Family values.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yes. Ailes called Carlson's allegations false, and he says this is a retaliatory suit for the network's decision not to renew her contract, which was due largely to the fact that her disappointingly low ratings were dragging down the afternoon lineup.
She's boring.
She is boring. Yeah, we'll see about that. And then what you might not know is I heard, if you've been wondering where Neil Cavuto's at, I'm a big fan of Neil Cavuto when he does the business report.
The business.
And he has heart problems, so he's been out with heart problems for weeks now.
That's not good.
Yeah, and I know he's a big fan of fast food, so no more Big Macs for him.
Sad day.
I know.
Eat a salad, Neil.
Yes, that's what he's going to have to eat now. Forevermore. Fido Forever, South Korea's dog cloning clinic, can help you with that. Researcher holds cloned dog in her arms at Seoul's Soam Biotech Research Foundation, a world leader in pet cloning. At $100,000 a head, you can clone your dog.
Wow. You have to do it while your dog's still alive, though, I would imagine.
Oh, maybe not.
Well,
they got to get some DNA. Yeah,
you like keep some hair from your dog.
Well,
that passed away.
You'd probably extract a vial of blood, but that seems pricey to me.
Well, you know, just like everything else, it's going to get a lot cheaper. DVD
right.
players.
Yeah. Remember, do you remember, what is
it? Video games.
What was the NPR show with the guy once? What
This American Life?
This American Life when he did the bowl that was cloned.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I saw that.
Right. Yeah, so he cloned this longhorn steer and thought it would be just like his beloved longhorn steer.
Yeah, because he had a really sweet cow.
Right. No, the steer, longhorn steer.
Yeah.
Okay, with the big longhorns like Texas size. And he would let it in his house, and he would play with it, and it would roam around the front yard, this, that, and the other, and he fell in love with it, and then it died. But he cloned it. Texas, either Texas University or Texas A&M decided to do it just science reasons.
Yeah.
And it gored him several times.
Yeah. Then the new cow was not so nice.
No. No. So the cow looked the same, but the cow was not the same personality. Looked the same, not the same thing.
Yeah. And genetically was the same.
Genetically, it was the same.
It had a totally different personality than the other cow.
You are correct, sir. Goats are as loving as clever as dogs.
No way.
Say smitten scientists. That's right. Yeah. Goats were first the first livestock species to be domesticated, in case you didn't know that, over 10,000 years ago. There are 100,000 goats in Britain and 1 billion worldwide. My mother has 2 of them. But until recently, they've been considered no more intelligent than a sheep. Well, in many countries, including Italy, Germany, the phrase stupid as a goat is used as an insult. But anyway, they looked into this. Queen Mary's Department of Biological and Experimental Psychology, and they said the reputation is unfair. You can't work with a sheep on its own. People think they are the same, but they're very different animals. Anyone who has ever worked with both animals can tell you that there's a big difference. We know that in some areas, goats are as intelligent as dogs. But there's got to be a lot more work to be done. And there has been a lot more work done on the dog behavior. And we're just really starting to scratch the surface with goats.
I wonder what tests they gave the goats to see how smart they were.
Calculus.
Yeah. Here, take my algebra exam.
Yes. SAT. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a good story. Kelsey Grammer is speaking out and revealing that a lot has changed for him over the last few years. At one time, Kelsey was an alcoholic and going to Alcoholic Anonymous meetings. He was staying sober and taking care of himself. Now, Radar Online is sharing that Kelsey isn't going to these meetings anymore. And the reality is that he actually drinks every single day again. The thing is, Kelsey doesn't seem to think he has a big problem like before. And the story goes on to say that he will be responsible and he will not get behind the wheel while drinking. I no longer go to AA, but I still enjoy a drink. People need to know how to move on and put things in another place. Drinking is not a vice. I want my 5 minutes every day, and I'm having my cocktail, and I do not want you to bother me about it when I do it. It's my life. It's my business. Stay out of it.
Well, ultimately, I think he knows what's best for him, and hopefully he's choosing what's best for him.
Yeah. It could probably end up killing him. But it is his life, his American life.
Exactly.
To stay off the road. That's why God gave us Uber. Finally, did you tune into PBS's A Capital Fourth broadcast Monday night and you were treated to that American tradition? Because I did. Bursts of pyrotechnic color unfolding over the nation's capital on the night of 4th of July. Did you take a look at that? I started to look at it.
I watched it with my wife.
Did you notice anything unusual?
Yeah, they used stock footage.
That's right. Yes, they did. The first dead giveaway was that the Capitol building, which has scaffolding all around it, they're completely redoing it, wasn't there. I was like, where's the scaffolding? They didn't take this down for this broadcast. And then I looked at the weather report. It was raining there. It was completely overcast.
Yeah, you could see people in the crowd wearing ponchos and stuff, really enjoying their time there. But you looked up at the sky, and it was all foggy and cloudy.
The show is in its 36th year and boasts, its broadcast, Washington's own fireworks, millions of viewers, obviously. It's a big deal. Everybody, who doesn't want to watch it? It's very patriotic. But they ended up showing stock footage from clear years.
I mean, do you think that's fair, though? Would you rather watch stock footage of perfect fireworks exploding in a clear night, or would you want to watch it in the fog?
They didn't tell you. Therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't fess up to it until, like, the next day or something, right? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yesterday, yeah. All right, on that note, everybody, have a good night. Lee Graham, are you ready?
To 10 on KGO 810. We're less than 1 month away from the Olympics in Rio, and Brazil is ready for the Games. That is, if you don't include the unfinished stadiums, one of the world's highest violent crime rates, extreme poverty, a massive drug problem, a gasoline shortage, fear over the Zika virus, plus drug-resistant super bacteria in the waters. Other than that, they are totally ready. The 2016 Games in Rio. Come for the sport. Stay for the shoddy construction and human waste.
Well, not only that, you need to stay for just in case that Icelandic soccer announcer who loses his mind. Remember, he lost his mind when his team won at the very last minute. In case this guy shows up again. Apparently, they don't have Zika in Iceland. Maybe that guy should go to Rio to calm him down.
Yeah, that'll calm him right down.
Yeah, let's calm him down. All right, let's see here. A couple things here. Oh, I talked about this earlier yesterday, and now it's a national story because we beat everyone to the punch. I love that. So more than half of us make excuses to get out of social events, and we do it all the time. Well, apparently I wasn't the only one. You're all just so cool that sometimes you're like, hey, guys, I just need a night in to myself. My life is way too much fun by myself. Yeah, me too. Problem. Yes, right? New survey found that 4 out of 5 people have made up an excuse to get out of a social event. 55% do it on a regular basis. Almost 20% do it consistently. That means if a friend cancels on you, there's a damn good chance they're lying and they don't want you to find out. They just don't want to go.
55%. You might need new
55%.
Friends.
55%. Yeah. No, but everybody does this. I did a variation on this story last night because of the 4th of July that basically, especially men, really don't want to do anything. They would rather just stay at home, drink a beer, watch television, barbecue, grill out. They're not into traveling around and flying around and, you know, the honey-do list.
I can see that. Do you think some of the problem,
entertain
though, might
the kids
be
and
people have a hard time saying no when they're asked to do things? They really don't want to do it, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, that sounds like a great idea. And then when the time comes, they're like, yeah, maybe not.
You know what? One of the sneaky things that companies and corporations do, they always – did you ever notice they make things far out, like 2 weeks? Because if it's 2 weeks ahead of time – and by the way – sneaky people do this too. I'm sure they pick this up from their company or their corporations. You say, how about 6 weeks from now we do this? And then you think to yourself, well, in 6 weeks I'll be okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's here.
Yeah. You're like, that gives me plenty of time to prepare. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. So now you know 55% of all of us make excuses to get out of social events, and we do it all the time. Did you think this was bad, Kelly?
Kaylee Cuoco.
Cuoco. She's just Penny to me.
Okay.
On
yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely.
Dude, she tweeted this out. She has 3 beautiful dogs, and they're all sitting on an American flag. They all have patriotic handkerchiefs around their necks. And the Twitterverse unloaded on her.
Yeah, I mean, American flags aren't supposed to be on the ground. I know that from my days as a Boy Scout.
But she's Penny from Big Bang Theory.
That doesn't give you a carte blanche to do whatever you want to the American flag.
I disagree. So anyway, so she tweeted out, "Proud American today, tomorrow, and always." And then she had to apologize. Tell me if this doesn't sound like a publicist. "Yesterday, I made a mistake by posting the picture that was taken of my sweet dogs posing on an American flag. I sincerely apologize to anyone who was offended by my previous post." Penny goes on to write, "This in no way reflects my feeling towards what the American flag represents. Sorry."
Oh, yeah. That's very carefully crafted.
Yes.
That's like mac and cheese.
That's super duper crafted. Okay. All right. Let's move on to some other news. So Let's play this. There's a guy in Florida dropped his iPhone on Saturday, and he was trying to take some pictures of an 8-foot alligator. Here we go, people. This is not going to end well. Guess what? He got a fight from the gator and ate his phone. And one of his buddies, of course, was taping it. Let's take a listen to this.
Don't crush the screen.
Dumbass.
Oh no!
If he eats it, it was meant to be. That's fake.
Did his mouth open up? Is it in his mouth, or is he just resting on top of it right now?
Why don't you stick your hand in there and find out?
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, I'm gonna try to grab it here.
Yeah, I knew
just
it.
Watch
I knew
the
it.
Game.
He chose not another one.
Cool.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah! Yay!
Brave soul.
What a long endeavor.
We got it.
But it does not turn on.
And it doesn't work anymore.
Go figure.
And at least you still have your arm.
You won't be sticking that one in rice.
Dumbass. I know that trick never works anyway. Did you ever drop a phone in the toilet or into the water and then try to do the rice thing?
Yeah, I did it in the sink one time.
Never works. All right, let's wrap up things with the good news. So here's one of those stories that, I don't know, must make the executives at Disney salivate. A 550-pound black bear at the Folsom City Zoo's sanctuary near Sacramento.
Oh,
I'm sure you've been there, right?
Right down the road.
Okay, named Sequoia. And this bear has been living with a stray black cat, all right? So apparently they're like best friends. Stray cat shows up, Folsom City Zoo Sanctuary in California, and it moved into the bear exhibit. People were uptight, and they're like, well, they're gonna eat that kitty. Bye-bye, pussycat. No, not so much. Turns out they became very, very, very good friends.
No kidding.
The best of friends.
I don't get how that would possibly ever happen.
I thought he was going to be eaten by the bear.
Every morning we scatter dog food out for the bears, and she started coming into the exhibits and eating the dog food. Once we realized she was coming in here on a regular basis, we start putting food out for her in the morning. Sequoia walks right by her. She'll walk right by Sequoia, and they'll stay, you know, pretty close to each other.
Oh, my gosh. This is a regular cat.
I have a great idea. How about we put the guy with the cell phone, the iPhone, and the alligator in with the bear and the cat and see how that turns out.
Don't crush the screen.
Whoops, there goes your head.
You know what surprises me the most about that story, Drex, is that they're feeding the bears dog food. Does that seem weird to you?
This is why I hate zoos. Let the animals go. Leave them alone. Stop. At least it's a sanctuary, I will say that. Didn't say just zoo. I hate zoos. I despise zoos. Anyway, that's the good news. So the bear now has a best friend, and it's a stray cat.
Aww.
At least until it gets really hungry. Keep that dog food coming. All right, everybody, have a great night. We'll make more tomorrow night on the Drex Radio Show. The John Batchelor Show is coming up next on KGO 810.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.